The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I'm not to touch that mic because it bites me a little bit when I get up, so I'll use my Bible to push it down a little bit until I get it out of the way. I want to speak to you tonight on mouth control. Mouth control. And I'm not talking about panaka, but mouth control. I'm not talking about bad breath tonight, though that might be better than this tonight, but mouth control. Now, there are such things as preventative sermons. There are things as medicated type of sermons. I don't know where you sit tonight and how you are, but depending on where you sit tonight and how you are is the way you'll receive it. I'm not really sure. I do know this. I know the Bible teaches in James chapter 3, look down if you will, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, my brethren, it says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in all, it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. And that's talking about a mature man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us and that we may turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, though they be so great and driven by fierce wind, yet they are turned about with a very small hymn, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, the birds, it says, and of the birds and of the serpents and of the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly devices. There's no person in here tonight, I believe, that can tame the tongue. The only one that can really give us the power to be able to tame the tongue is the Holy Spirit of God. As a person is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God can help us to be able, relatively, to say the right things at the right time, to say that with depth that's needed or shallowness that's needed, depending on what's needed at that given time. The Bible talks about how that our words ought to be seasoned with salt. The Bible talks about that those words that seasoned with salt, and by the way, you know what salt does? A salt is that which many times will hurt as it begins to go in, but it also takes care of bacteria. It also takes care of helping a wound to be able to get those things out of it that might be detrimental to that which is an arm or maybe a finger or a leg or wherever that cut may be. I believe this, and being a preacher for over 30 years, that I've seen many, many sermons that change people. I've seen sermons that make people better, and I've seen sermons that people get mad at, and it makes them worse. I've seen, if you would please, hearts that's been moldable be very tender. When they hear a truth, they're easily molded. I've seen people's hearts that's not been so tender, and all of a sudden when a man of God gets up and they preach a message, they begin to harden their hearts to the point that they become stiff-necked. I've seen people make many decisions, both good and bad. I've seen people use the tongue over the years, to be honest with you. They've used that tongue to be able to show disagreement, be able to show their misunderstanding. They've used the tongue to be negative, to hurt feelings, to disappoint people, to miscommunicate. But I've also seen people use the tongue to bless, to honor, to praise, to encourage, to strengthen. Tonight, the power of the tongue lies within your hand to be able to do with it whatsoever you desire to do. Now, by the way, the tongue and the problem with the tongue is not something that's new. Moses had problems with the Israelites as they would murmur. Matter of fact, the Israelites are talked about in the Old Testament 25 times of murmuring. 21 of those 25 times they were murmuring as God was delivering them out of Egypt. So while God was in the middle of delivering them and giving them victory, they found themselves murmuring over what they thought was not right. Can I tell you, many times you have to wait before you can pass a judgment. In the Bible, you see that the word scorner is used as the word critic. A scorner is somebody that tears down always. Many times somebody that's a scorner really believes that they're right in a certain area, so they feel the liberty, the strength, and if you would please, the encouragement, the empowerment from within to be able to cut something else down, because after all, they do believe that they're right. And so they'll take their tongue and they'll take that which is that small member of the body, which is called that tongue, and they'll begin to tear something down simply because they do believe that they have the proper ground on which to stand. Let me give you a Bible study tonight. Can I do it? I don't know how much of this is going to be preachy, but I want to give it to you tonight because I think it's still very important that we be able to see through God's eyes how we ought to be able to govern the tongue. Let me give you some thoughts to think about. Why is it, have you ever thought, why is it that people criticize? You ever thought about that? Let me give you some Bible answers. By the way, it's always good to go to your Bible. It's always good to be able to go to your Bible to see what God has to say about a subject matter, because I can tell you for sure, God is always right. Man may or may not be right. Okay? So it's always good to go to your Bible to see what God has to say. So let's get some definitions tonight. Let's get some understandings tonight according to God's Word. Why is it that people criticize? Statement number one, because they enjoy it. They enjoy it. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, how long will you simple ones love simplicity and will you scorners? Now, by the way, every time you see the word scorner, that's very noteworthy in the book of Proverbs, the word scorner means critic. So if you ever want to see what the Bible says about a critic, you take the word scorner, look it up, trace it all the way through the book of Proverbs, and you'll see what God says about a scorner and how it is that a scorner can be helped or a scorner can hurt. Okay, now here's what we see. Some people criticize because they enjoy it. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And how it says, and the scorners delight in their scorning. The fools hate knowledge. All right, so some people simply are critical because they like it. They just like to delight in it. It's a part of their nature. They cannot see that which is good because they're always viewing even the good through negative eyes. It doesn't matter what comes their way, they're going to see something wrong with it. You will never be in a conversation with that individual that they do not take time to point out something that they feel does not meet up to standard, does not meet up to par, does not meet their expertise. You'll never, a person that has a scorning heart, a critical heart, you would never get in a lengthy conversation with them in a most casual setting that you do not hear them criticize an event, a person, an organization, because that is just a part of their makeup and that is who they are. Now, so some people do it because they just enjoy it. Others do it because it's a pride in their life. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 24, the Bible says pride, and it says a haughty scorner is his name. And by the way, most people know people that are carried about within them own selves and are full of pride. Most people can see somebody that's arrogant. They can see somebody that is haughty, they can see somebody that's full of themselves. It says, pride in a haughty scorner is his name. It says, who dealeth, it says, in proud wrath. All right, so many times you can see a person is very proud as they're scorning. It starts with maybe them starting off to compliment somebody, and before you know it, the compliment is short, the slashing is great, and then they'll end it up being a skilled scorner with a compliment at the end. Sometimes they'll do this because they have a bad temper. Sometimes people are critical because they have a bad temper. Now, wait a minute. Here's what I found out. And by the way, you'll see the verse here in a minute. But sometimes people that have a bad temper will criticize others to divert them from noticing their bad control of their temper. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 24, the Bible says, a proud, and it says, and a haughty scorner, it says, is his name. It says, who dealeth in proud wrath. And so here's a person that is wrathful. And so what they do, they cover up by being critical about someone else. Sometimes somebody criticizes because they're showing their real heart. They really are sincerely critical about a person, a place, or an event. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, the Bible says, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth that which is forth is evil. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so sometimes it's just that natural heart. You know, that person that is scorning, it's just a natural thing. That's why they criticize. It's natural. I mean, it's just like breathing. It's just like eating. They've got to be negative. They've got to criticize. They've got to cut something down. And it's just like drinking water to them. It's just like eating food to them. I mean, that's just a part of who they've decided to be. Now, by the way, they don't have to be that way. And God can give every single person victory over living a critical life, but they choose to be that way. So why do the scorners scorn? Why do they criticize? Well, let me give you some, if I may, some circumstances of being a critic. What does it mean to be a critic? Well, the Bible says that you forfeit God's blessings. So when somebody begins to criticize, they automatically stand in judgment of God. The Bible says over in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Listen to this. Nor sitteth, that means they're comfortable, in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We ought never to get so comfortable in the seat of scorning that we think that we have arrived. Because when you do that, you forfeit God's blessings. You have elevated yourself above that which is truth. You have set yourself up, instead of God being the judge, you have set yourself up as being a judge. Now, can I tell you, God is a greater judge than you and I could ever be. But somebody that lives in that scornful capacity, you'll find out they're always negative and normally very seldom are they happy? What needs to happen? They need to have their heart fixed. If the heart is fixed, the tongue will follow. But if the heart is not fixed, the tongue will never follow. The Bible says in Psalm 57 and verse 7, the Bible says, my heart is fixed, O God. He says, my heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise. All right, so when the heart is fixed, here's what happens. It changes what comes out of the mouth. When the heart is fixed, now they're cheerful. Now they're singing. Now they're praising God. They're not looking for everything under every rock. Psalm 108 and verse 1, the Bible says, O God, he says, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even, it says, with my glory. And so he says, hey, look, it's not just singing and giving praise. He said, I'm going to give glory to God. By the way, two different people can break an arm. One becomes very critical and says, I tell you what, must be God's judgment. I must not be doing something right. Somebody else can have a broken arm and they say, praise God, thank you so much for this. This is causing me to be able to trust you more. It just depends on your view. Criticism ought not to be in our lives, ought not to be in our homes. It's funny, we'll take a stand and we'll say we'll have no rock music in the home. We'll take a stand and we'll say we'll have no cursing in the home. We'll take a stand and we'll say there's going to be no liquor in the refrigerator at home. We'll take a stand and we'll say there's going to be no type of pornography inside of the home. We'll take a stand and we'll say there's not going to be that which is drugs inside of the home. But I'm saying tonight, on the basis of God's truth, you ought to take a stand tonight and say there's not going to be any criticism inside of the home. It'll help your marriage. It'll help your husband. It'll help your children. It'll help those that's around you. If you just decide to look at some bright things and some good things and some cheerful things and some godly things and some holy things, and instead of cutting somebody down and chopping them up and putting them out there to serve for dog meat, why don't you just decide to thank God that God chose somebody in your life to be able to help and to be able to bless and to be able to enjoy and to be able to encourage and to be able to walk beside so that they can live for God to a greater capacity. I'm saying tonight, those that have the critical spirit, you know, a critic will not endure God's judgment. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 29, the Bible says judgments are prepared for scorners. Now God said that. Somebody that's a critic walks around and says, I wonder how come I don't have any friends. I wonder too. Somebody walks around and says, well, I tell you what, I just don't know why people run from me instead of running to me. I wonder too. Can I tell you tonight that judgments are prepared, the Bible says, for scorners and stripes for the backs of fools. Here we'll see, as I said a moment ago, in Exodus chapter 16. Let me read you just a couple of these. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. The Bible says the whole congregation, the whole, can you imagine how Moses felt? He didn't have one or two. He had a whole congregation. It says the whole congregation, it says, of the children, it says, of Israel, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. He didn't have one person murmuring against him. He had a whole congregation. They all went down to Starbucks. Or in that case, they went down to the Jewish, what would you call that? Jewish Bucks. The Jewish Bucks, by the way, didn't promote and support the queers like Starbucks does, though. Oh, did I say that? Exodus chapter 16 and verse 7, the Bible says, and in the morning it says, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, and he heareth, it says, your murmurings against the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Stop. You mean to tell me that God was taking it personal? When they were criticizing Moses and Aaron, God said this. Listen to it again. In the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, and he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Now, why is that? Why does God take it personal when you criticize somebody, well, a man of God? Why does God take that personal when you criticize somebody like a missionary? Why does God take that personal? I'm going to tell you why God takes that personal. Because you are criticizing the one that is operating in his stead. The Bible says, and Moses said, ye shall be, when the Lord, it says, shall give you the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to be full. The Bible says that the Lord heareth your murmurings and murmurings against him. He says, and what are we? Your murmurings are against us. Listen to it. Not against us. Not against us. But against the Lord. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've gotten on my knees in my office and, a church member starts to have problems and whatnot. And I get on my knees and I say, God, this is one of your kids. I'm not disowning the fact that I'm their shepherd under you, but this is one of your kids. And I'll call their name out before the Lord and I'll say, this kid's having trouble. God, you got to work in the heart of this kid. You know why? Because I realize if they're giving me grief, they're also giving him grief. And he and I can partner together. Because I stand in his stead, not by my own doings, but by his placement. And so as I stand in his stead, not by my own doings, but by his placement, then I realize as Moses and Aaron operated in the stead of God to the people of Israel, I operate in the very stead of God to the people that God has given me here at Parkside Baptist Church. Amen. And so therefore I realize that if somebody is sideways towards their man of God, then in essence they're sideways towards their God. And so I understand the seriousness of that. And so I'll get on my knees And I will beg God to work in their heart to withhold judgment from them so that they would not be judged by God, who has taken it very personal. Okay? The Bible says here, and Moses spake unto Aaron, and it says, say unto the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Okay, so God is showing here there's the consequences of being a critic. And those consequences are very serious. Statement number next. So what I need to do, I need to come to God and understand that God becomes the critic of the critic. Now, if I'm going to have anybody criticize me, I'd rather it be him. I'd rather it be him. I'd rather be him, him or him, than God to criticize me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 33 through 34, the Bible says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the inhabitation of the just. Listen to what it says, verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, and he giveth grace to the lowly. I don't want to become a critic because I don't want God to criticize me. I don't want God to put stripes on my back and me walk around with stripes on my back because I decided to become a critic of somebody else. I don't want God's judgment on my back. You know, somebody says, well, you know, somebody criticized you, preacher. Why don't you criticize them back? It's not worth it. It is absolutely not worth it. Somebody attacks you, preacher. Why don't you attack them back? It is not worth it. I do not want the judgment of God. I will walk away before I would try to criticize somebody else. Now listen to me tonight. You are better off to not spread something that is going to hurt yourself and your family at a point of no return. By the way, listen to me. Remember I said some critics, they enjoy doing it. That's their joy. Watch me now. Let's say that you have a dad that's a critic, and he's in the home. This may be his forte. I mean, honestly, this may be his forte. And so all he does is just negative, negative, critical, 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 critical. But here's what happens. When your child picks that up, that might not be their forte. And now they get bitter against the person that you're criticizing. Then every time they see them walking down the hallway, that person doesn't stand a chance. Are we not supposed to redeem people? Are we not supposed to help people? Did not even God himself give people a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and an eternal chance? Or is not God a forgiving God? You say, well, preacher, when people have done wrong in our church, you should have held them up. You should have slapped them silly for everybody to see it. Yeah, right. Then what would have happened? Every time they would have walked down the hallway, you and your self-centered, judgmental attitude would not have given them a chance to ever live for God. No, we'll love them. We'll encourage them. We will help them. We will try to restore them. We try to help them. Everybody deserves a chance. Now, I'm saying this tonight. Please understand that God becomes the critic of those that do the criticizing. Here's what happens. Criticism isolates you from other people. When you're all, now I'm trying to help you tonight. By the way, would you say amen? When you criticize other people, it puts you on your own little island and nobody wants to get in the boat to visit you. Nobody does. I mean, nobody wants to come to your house. You invite somebody, hey, can we go out to eat sometime? Isn't it amazing how they're always busy? All of them. Should not that tell you something? You see, when you have this criticism going on, look at it. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 12, the Bible says, it says, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, there's that word again, thou alone shall bear it. That's lonely. So a person that is always just let me tell you, here's what God says. Okay, first off, now you invoked my criticism upon your life, and because of that, you're going to be a lonely person. Okay, let's continue. Here's what happens. It damages your mind. When you criticize somebody, something, an event all the time, you damage your own mind. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. So somebody that's always negative, they're saying, man, I don't understand why I can't figure this out. Why can't I get God's wisdom? I just don't understand. Why? Well, God says you're seeking it, you can't find it because you're a critic. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Wait a minute. A critic is somebody that does this. He turns his friends into enemies. Turns his friends into enemies. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 10, the Bible says, cast out a scorner, that's a critical person, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. So God says when the critic leaves, then people are restored. All right, wait a minute. Says here that criticism, it turns those friends into enemies. And by the way, watch this. You cannot talk bad about someone. Everybody has, stay with me, everybody has tentacles of friends. Everybody does. Everybody's got tentacles. You start nailing somebody, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. One of their friends that they have a tentacle in is going to get offended. Have you ever seen somebody that rises to the defense of another? Have you ever seen somebody that's been offended because you offended their friend? Have you ever seen that? You know why? Simply because they have taken it upon themselves to rise up and become your enemy because you hurt their friend. Now, that is true in reality in everyday living. But God says to cast down a scorner and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. I had a guy many years ago, I'll not name his name, but I had a guy in the youth department at Central, and he was always criticizing. And by the way, you can criticize in many ways. You don't have to criticize, if you will, just with your words. You can criticize the way that you look. Hello. Preacher's up there preaching, say, yeah, this is what the Bible says. And you're back there, and you go. You know what you've just done? You've criticized with your face. Don't do that. That's dangerous. You know, our preacher gets up there and he preaches, and all of a sudden, you know, you go to your wife, or your wife goes to you and goes, you know what you've done? You've just criticized with your face. Okay, you ready? All of a sudden, mom and daddy says, take out the trash. Teenager. You just criticize with your body actions. Hello? Mom and dad says, hey, I need you to clean off the table. You grab the dish. You just criticized with your actions. It could be subtle, or it could be something that is in your face. Still the same thing. It's still the same thing. Come on. You've had a long, hard day. You come home hoping to find your wife compassionate, kind, loving, ready for you to arrive. You walk into the door You know that you are her knight in shining armor. You know, all day, all she's been doing is just laying around the house, saving up her energy for your arrival. You go to the door and you use your key. You open the door. You go up to her and with loving, tender lips, you extend yourself her direction to give her that kiss of the hour, the kiss of a lifetime. And she says, "What do you want?" "All day I've been dealing with diapers, rotten kids, and it's your fault. Washer broke down, tire broke down. Had the plumber to come out. He didn't know what he was doing. 4 foot of water in the bedroom, and you want a kiss?" Say, "What are you saying?" "I'm moving on." Be careful, because God becomes your critic. Be careful with this. God calls this an unruly... Hey, you ever do this? You ever do this? You ever do this? Yeah, don't raise your hand. You ever do this? You ever text somebody something that you wish you would have not? And as you were reading it, reconsidering it, thinking probably I should not send it, oops, I hit the send button. Hello? Have you ever written an email and you thought, "I'm just going to put it in the draft, consider it for months, pray over it," and in the brain deadness of the hour, you hit the send button? Have you ever called somebody to gossip about someone else and you dialed the wrong number and you started gossiping to the person you were gossiping about? I'm saying God becomes a critic of the critic. Statement number 4. How do you deal with a critic? First off, critics never heed rebuke. They never heed it. You can rebuke a critic and they will not take it. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. The Bible says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." You got a critic in your life and you go up to them and say, "Look, I tell you what, you really need to, you need to quit." First off, they're not going to take that. All that's going to do is add flame. So what do? Just walk away. Don't become a critic to the critic. Don't become the one that judges the one that's judging you. You walk away from it. Statement number 2, rebuking a scorner will hurt your reputation. If you rebuke somebody that's criticizing you, it's going to do you hurt. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, "He that rebuketh a scorner getteth himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot." So when you rebuke somebody that is scorning you, they're going to bring it back and they're going to hurt your reputation. I'm saying the best thing to do is give it to God and walk away. Amen. You start defending yourself, you use your Facebook or whatever other type of book you use. Somebody says something, they slander you, they hurt you, and then you get on there, "Well, let me tell you." And they escape, they come back, "Well, let me tell you." And by the way, Facebook, are you listening to me, is dangerous because some people get confused. You think you're sending them a personal letter. You are not sending them a personal letter. You are sending them a letter that thousands are going to read. So not only do they now understand your ignorance, thousands others do too. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that when you criticize, here's what happens. You will pay the consequences. God becomes your critic. how to deal with a critic. Here's what you do. Simply walk away and let it go. You walk away and do not return to it. Statement number next, and I'm done. Let me give you some ideas now real quick on the Christian should avoid those opportunities of criticism. Here it is. I'm done. Don't sit around and talk too much. It's dangerous. You ever go over to somebody's house and the fellowship turned into a gossip party? Where they're sitting around and all they're doing is just slashing and, I mean, it's just a gossip party now. You have stayed too long. You've stayed too long. Well, let me tell you what I think. All right, now what do? All of a sudden now you're sitting around and it becomes a gossip party. You know, here's what you could do. Say, you know, I appreciate you inviting me over. Appreciated the steak. Appreciated the fries. Ice cream was great. But I didn't come over for this. Got to go. Just smile and walk out. You said, they'll never invite me back. That's why you ate the steak when you got it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible says, in a multitude of words, they're one if not sin. When you sit around, come on, it's common. It's common. You are human. If you sit around with somebody long enough and you become familiar with them deep enough, you feel like you can share all. And normally, when you feel like you can share all, you do. Statement number next. Never listen 1 minute to somebody else that's criticizing another believer. Never listen 1 minute. Not 1 minute. Because what you're going to do is somebody says, and by the way, you say they start criticizing another believer. Here's what you can say. You know, I'm sorry. I can't participate in listening to that type of talk. Have a good day. And walk away. You'll be better for it. And you've taught them a valuable lesson. You've taught them that you're not going to get the criticism of God on your life. What do? All of a sudden now, a person criticizes you. What do? You walk away. What do? If you have a critical heart, you go to that one person that you are critical about and apologize. Don't make excuses for your tongue. Do not make excuses for your tongue. Don't go up and say, well, let me tell you, the reason that I have criticized you is because. No. Now you're trying to justify yourself. Go up to the person and say, look, I criticized you. I never should have did it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And walk away. In order to be right with God and man, you have to take care of those things. You are not going to get your prayers answered. If you have aught in your heart towards any other believer that's sitting in this room or outside of this room, God will not answer your prayers. He won't do it. Let me give you the 10 commandments of gossip. I'm done. Here it is. You got 10 things. I'm done. Number one, did I hear him say it? First count witness, did I hear him say it? Statement number two, did I see him do it? Did I hear him say it? 10 commandments of gossip, did I hear him say it? Number two, did I see him do it? Did I personally see him do it? Statement number three, you ready? Did I hear him say he did it? In other words, did he confess? Did I hear him say he did it? Now, if not, then don't believe it. You know, there used to be a day in the U.S. of A. where we would say innocent until proven guilty. For some strange reason, we have switched that around, guilty until proven innocent. That's wrong. So I got marriage problems. Statement number four, if possible, I will not listen. If possible. Now, what do you say, if possible? You just said to walk away. Okay, driving down the road 70 miles an hour, a guy starts to criticize someone else. You don't say, okay, I'm out of here. rolling down the highway. I feel good. In the hospital, if possible, don't listen. Statement number five. If I must listen, I will not believe it. If I must listen, I'm not going to believe it. And by the way, still innocent until proven guilty. Statement number seven, I will not talk about it. Hey, you know what? You know what I heard? That Brother Crutcher guy. Heard he's over the school. Heard he's tough as nails. And I think some of the nails he's been chewing on are rusty. Because he's giving my kids the act. And it's unjust. How's your kids doing? Hello? I'm saying this. Don't talk about it. By the way, come on. If you're old enough, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. If I quit every time somebody hurt my feelings, I could write a book on the expertise of quitting. Statement number eight, I will stand by godly authority. I will stand by godly authority. Say, do you believe you're a perfect pastor? No, but I believe we have a perfect book. And I believe... And we've always taught our kids, you stand by the authority. Okay? You start being somebody that, well, you know what, I am, now don't get me wrong, please don't understand the pastor is a God-given, God-called position. Doesn't make him any better than anybody else, does make him more responsible and more accountable. Therefore, he needs to live, if you will, he himself, to that high calling that he has in Christ Jesus. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying stand beside. Okay, best thing you could ever do. One day you disagree with Brother Butler, that's a college administrator. Don't go to somebody else and talk bad about him. Go to him. Go to him. Now, don't go to five of him. Don't try and gain people. Well, let me tell you, get out in the hallway and yadda, 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 yadda. That's a northern thing. Yadda, 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 yadda. You know, and you start talking, and so now all of a sudden you got a camaraderie. Say, okay, let's go talk to Brother Butler. And we all walk in with our signs. Brother Butler, brother. Yeah, and we take the signs and boom. No, you don't do that. You go to him, stay with me, and him alone. Don't bring your parties. You're the offended one. You're the hurt one. That's who you see by yourself. If he's the party involved. Nobody else. And don't do this. Don't go back to your house and eat ice cream and say, well, let me tell you what I disagree about Lone Star Baptist College. Well, let me tell you what I disagree about Parkside Baptist Academy. Hey, come on. Let me tell you what I think our bus captain's doing wrong. Hey, let's talk about that Yao guy. You know, let's talk about him and all the things he's done wrong. Hey, did you see that deacon? Did you see what he did? Can you believe they're still letting him be a deacon? No, leave it go. I'm saying this. I'm saying I will not talk about it. Statement number seven. Statement number eight, I will stand by godly authority. Statement number nine, I would rather, stay with me now, I'd rather be wrong by too much trust than to be short with too much doubt. I'd rather be wrong with too much trust than to be short because of too much doubt. Statement number 10, and I'm done. I don't have to believe either party. If I believe both parties are telling a lie or both parties are telling the truth, I don't have to believe either party. Some people tell so many lies that it's hard to believe them. Now, that's not going to affect my judgment about them. I'm still going to try and help them. Just might not trust them as much. Hello? But I don't have to believe either party. I can stand for truth and be neutral on truth without taking sides. Now, can I tell you tonight, it is very important that we watch this little member. All of a sudden, next time you go out to Sweet Frog, Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, or one of those other exclusive restaurants, you're sitting around embellishing you with that healthy portion of wholesome food. And all of a sudden, a person begins to criticize. Here's what you do, very simple. I've enjoyed the hamburger, enjoyed the fries. Man, tell you what, I don't have a part in that. Gotta go. Say, have you ever done that? I've done that with relatives. I was attending a first independent Baptist church I ever attended. My cousins came up. They were staunch Catholic. They came up. They started talking bad about my pastor, saying that he stole me out of the Catholic church. I said, well, I just want to make a statement. I think you're speaking ignorantly, but this is where it ends right here. I love that preacher. God bless him. I got to go. I walked out. You know why? Because if I would have sat there, they probably would have affected my heart. And I was learning Bible. And I needed to learn Bible. And I didn't want nothing to affect my heart. I had to make a choice. Had a guy, House Anderson graduate, good guy. If I called his name, some of you that are House Anderson graduates would know him, well-known evangelist. His kids was in my youth department many years ago as teenagers. All of a sudden, he got sideways with my pastor. He came in my office one day, and he said, now, let me tell you some things about preacher you don't know. And I got up, called his name, and I said, these are things, to be honest with you, that you need to be talking with him about, not me. I said, I bid you good day, friend. Shook his hand. He said, you're mad at me, aren't you? I said, I didn't raise my voice, did I? Wasn't mean towards you. Hey, I love you. I'm glad you came in. But I'm also glad you're going out. Have a good day. All right, now wait a minute. Why did I do that? I did that for his sake. By the way, he became very critical at home, just cutting the preacher all the time. Today, all three of his children out in the world, one's in prison, because everybody needs hope. It wasn't saying that Brother Williams, my pastor at that time, was perfect. He wasn't in sin, but he wasn't a perfect man. You'll never have a perfect man. But what I did that day is I tried to teach a lesson. Just tried to teach a lesson. Now, can I tell you, your kids, your friends, watch you, listen to you more than you realize. Be careful. Be careful not to get your own kids out of church. Be careful not to get your friends out of church you're trying to reach. Be careful. Wisely use that tongue. Father, help us tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.